Broadcasting from a project studio that's more project than studio, it's Cinema Diabolical.
The following program contains explicit language and is intended for a mature audience only.
Man, it's 6 a.m. It's Saturday morning. Rico
Swallow. All
right. Well, after that, let's go ahead and try to do this for real this time. This is the Diabolical Sound. I'm F13.
I'm DZ.
And we're doing a type thing show. Yeah, that's another thing I got to stop saying. I've already been able to excise that it's Sunday night. It's cinema. That. We're doing a show type thing for. I got to cut that out too.
Okay. Coolier. Cut it out.
It's not easy. You know, you get into these patterns of doing this stuff, and it just becomes second nature.
Fucks you up for life, man.
It really does. You know, it really does. Much like marijuana, which has been shown by the U.S. government to cause brain damage.
To the U.S. government?
Marijuana. By the U.S. government, yeah, that's true.
I think the U.S. government causes brain damage. I can't confirm
someone
that.
Someone
has
to.
You know?
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny these allegations. We got a whole lot of content, so let's get right fucking to it. Plus, minus. This week has been a whole lot of plus and minus. The new Diabolical Studios are almost completely finished and moved into. Me and M13 went shopping for the first time in the new place, filled it up with lots of nice foods. We went to BevMo and picked up all sorts of bottles of intoxicants, which is, I find to be delightful. Let's see what else is on the plus side here. Starting work on some new websites, both of us. I got a job, not really a job, but like kind of a side gig doing voiceovers for book trailers, which is an interesting paradigm there.
Wait a minute. So what is it you exactly do?
The new big hip thing for writers is to have a trailer, an internet trailer for their book.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Okay.
Yeah, so I just I know someone who knows someone who's doing this whole thing. So, and they asked about somebody who does voiceovers, and they suggested me, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And so far, the two jobs that I've done, they've loved. So I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'll do this.
Well, are you making money?
Yeah, definitely am making money off of it. So I'm like, fuck, I'll do it. I love doing this.
Yeah, you like to talk. You don't like to read, but you like to talk.
No, definitely. And it's I'll finally be using my voice to do something positive, unlike this show, which is completely detrimental and negative and never helped anybody.
Except for us vent. God damn it.
Yeah, that's the only thing that it's helped, to get stuff off the chest. I've pretty much been going nonstop since we've moved in here, and I'm just fucking exhausted with like moving and unpacking and doing the this and the that and the next thing and the sun, the moon, and the stars, and fucking M13 dragging me to gallery openings and just any number of things. DZ, do you ever go to gallery openings?
I have not.
You know, I really dislike gallery openings because you can go to the gallery anytime that the exhibit's running and see the same stuff. But when you go on opening night, everyone's there to like schmooze and drink free booze and network and get photographed for whatever publications are covering the opening or whatever. And I'm just like, I just want to look at the pretty pictures. That's all I want to do.
Hey, that's a great time to eat pork and beans before you go.
Yes, and fucking gas them. Just gas the shit out of everybody. You know what I do? I put a little tube into my little butt and a little funnel, and I walk up to people and I gas them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I do.
Fuck you.
And you know, you hope the kids like it. You hope the kids
fuck
like
you,
it.
Fuck you, posh dick.
Take that, fucker.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'm not sure if this is a plus or a minus, but I actually got a call from a customer the other day.
Uh-huh.
And this was at closing, which usually we don't answer the phone, but I was like, fuck it, it's this motherfucker won't stop ringing the phone. And he comes and he's like, well, you didn't give me this $8,000, you know, for a credit line, blah blah blah. I've got all sorts of money with you people, blah blah blah. I still don't know who the fuck this is. And every time that I tried to say something, he kept interrupting me. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I realized this guy's just venting. What the fuck is this? All he wanted to do was, I said, well, let me see if I can get someone to help you. Because I kind of like throwing that stuff on the branch manager.
Right.
And he was like, no, it's too late. And then he hangs up.
It's like, you realize you don't want anything. Like, there's no, like, productive end to, there's no ends to this means. You just want to vent and yell at somebody.
And, you know, sometimes I let customers do that. Other times yeah, when you know I'm in a bad mood, though,
yeah, you know what I would do? I would kind of draw him closer if he was there in person, and I'd kind of take his head and put it on my shoulder and kind of stroke his hair and go, shh, it's all right. Go ahead. Just let it out. Just let it out. And I'd maybe sing a little lullaby. Do, 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 do.
You'd pull out your lute.
That's it. That's it. Shh, it's okay. It's all right. Go on Bobby Joe or whatever. I don't know. It's okay. It's all right. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, but I don't think you were ever like that when you did retail.
No, no, definitely not. I definitely tried to fight customers a few times, and that's definitely the truth. And this is a totally true story once. When I was, I think, 16, I worked in a video game store, and this bitch wanted to return. And she was a bitch. I'm not just being misogynistic here. She wanted to, I forget what it was. I guess it doesn't matter. She had some fucking problem. We weren't going to return some game for her or something. And an adult, a fucking female adult, goes to the wall of, like, empty video game boxes for display and starts, like, tossing them on the floor one by one. And we had this big stick behind the counter. I grabbed it and started, like, running at her. And my manager was like, no, no, no. And he, like, grabbed me around the waist. And I was, like, dragging him behind me. And then I kind of stopped. And I was like, wait, what was I going to do? Was I going to just hit this woman with this, like, with the stick?
Some people do. You know, you say that you call it assault. But I think squirting people...
I call it a pepper. Come on, folks!
You call it assault, but I think squirting someone in the face with a water gun is perfectly all right. Calms motherfuckers down. I mean, it works on cats.
Oh, yeah, it totally calms people down. If you squirted someone in the face with water, not only would they be pissed, they would also be like kind of like threatened. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't think you were going to do that. Bah.
Well, it would stun the shit out of them.
You know, that video game store was ridiculous. This big, fat mailman guy threw a game that he wasn't allowed to return at one of my coworkers once, and it, like, shattered on his wrist. A girl flashed me in that store once. All sorts of ridiculous shit went on in there. Anyway, moving on.
Did you stain the tabletop there?
A couple times,
I knew it. Anyway, plus. I think I'm going to find a good price for ticket for when I go up to Washington. In June.
Ooh, nice. How are airline tickets going? I haven't looked at one in a long time.
Round trip, like 170.
To Washington?
Yeah, to Washington.
That's not bad. Round trip, 140?
Wow. Oh, yeah, okay, but check this out. Okay, so a friend of mine was telling me that I guess JetBlue, within the last few months, they needed to fill a flight to New York. Guess how much they charged?
How much?
$14. For one way. I was like, when he told me that, I was like, damn, I would have just gone. I would have called you and said, I can't afford the flight back. Can you wire me some money? Yeah. But I'm in fucking New York.
I don't have anything to do or any place to stay, but I'm here. I'm going to walk around till nighttime and then fly home.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been like, so you went to New York for the weekend. Why did you do that? Because it was $14. That's why.
It was $14, and why wouldn't you?
Hell yeah. Shit, it costs more to go to fucking San Francisco on BART.
That's true. That is definitely true. Ugh, fucking Bart. Okay, moving right along. Let's see here. Let's get this over with so we can get to this week's content. Diabolical news time. Let's see what we've got on my news desk over here. First in line, man allegedly stabs brother over pork and beans. Now, if you remember last week, we did a story about some guys. One guy attacked another guy like in a hotel room because he wouldn't stop farting. this week, we've got what allegedly could have been the beginning. I mean, look at it this way. Well, they were already pissed off at each other. He was going to stab them one way or another. If it was for whoever got the pork and beans didn't get stabbed, after he ate them, he would have been tooting up a storm, and then the other guy would have stabbed him. So, I mean, the guy's getting stabbed no matter what.
Well, wait a minute. So he allegedly stabbed him? So they're not sure if stabbing actually took place?
Allegedly. They're allegedly not sure. Gilliam Law, Louisiana. Yeah, surprise. Sheriff's deputy said a 54-year-old man stabbed his 63-year-old brother during an argument in their kitchen over a can of pork and beans.
We're homeless. I need some beans.
Well, no, he said in their kitchen, so they live together.
Yeah, it's probably a fucking trailer in the outback. Well, they're not in Australia, but you know what I mean.
Right. Louisiana, not Australia. Chadwick said the brother was treated at a medical center for stab wounds to the left arm and shoulder blade. Deputy Jairala Rivera quoted as saying the two brothers had been drinking. Rivera said the suspect picked up a kitchen knife after her brother threw a punch at him but missed. I mean, really, like, how much of a fucking hobo do you need to be that you're fighting over a can of fucking pork and beans?
Well, they're from Louisiana. It doesn't make him hobos unless the whole state is a bunch of hobos.
That's a good point. A whole fucking state full of just backwoods, fucking ridiculous pork and bean fight. Listeners, do we have anybody that's in the New Orleans area? Let us know. I want to know. Call in 206-350-4030. Let us know about that. Fuck my sister right in her butthole. Moving along, man jailed.
I didn't want to have a five-headed kid with my sister.
Don't fuck your cousin or you're going to get a two-headed baby. man jailed for urinating on woman during flight. Honolulu, Hawaii, which is where these things happen. A 28-year-old man has been sentenced.
Is that the water sports state?
Apparently it is. Lots of water around there, although that's not at all what that means. Has been sentenced to 3 weeks in jail for urinating on a 66-year-old woman during a Continental Airlines flight last month from Los Angeles to Honolulu. Jerome, surprise, Kenneth Kinzingo, a resident of the U.S. Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, surprise, was sentenced after pleading guilty Tuesday to assault charges in federal court on Honolulu. The victim was headed to Hawaii on March 21st for a scuba diving vacation and was watching an in-flight movie when Kinzingo stood up and began urinating on her. He had been drinking during the flight. U.S. Attorney Edward Kubo Jr. said the woman reported not only was her entire vacation ruined, but she continues to suffer emotionally from the incident. Now, see, this, seriously, 66-year-old woman, she's probably some fucking stuffy, stuck-up old, like, you know, uptight bitch. It's like, seriously, my entire weekend and vacation was ruined, and I'm all emotionally upset. Someone peed on you. If someone peed on me on a flight, I'd be mad. I'd probably punch him in the dick, but then I'd be over it, and I'd have a great story to tell, like, 30 minutes late. Well, not say 30 minutes late. As soon as I was able to change my clothes, I would have gotten over it and, you know, had a great story to tell.
And you may have gotten reimbursed or maybe gotten some bonuses from the fucking airline.
Yeah, so fuck. Legion, if any of you ever see me on a flight, please pee on me.
We want to... That's a new kind of Mile High Club.
I am more than likely going to take my shirt off and rub it all over my nipples like,
Would you open your mouth?
No, probably not. Okay. That's gross. Come on, stop it. That's disgusting.
Now, I'm curious. So this wasn't P. Diddy, but...
P. Diddy.
What is it with abusing fucking people over the age of 60 this week?
I don't know. I mean, I think they deserve it. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think
60-year-olds need to be stabbed over pork and beans and peed on.
Yes, they need to be put on a fucking canoe and sent out to sea. Moving along, Wisconsin nurse called out of surgery and laid off. Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow,
surprise. a nurse was called out of surgery so a manager could tell her she was being laid off. Dean Health said the surgery was minor and the patient wasn't affected, but the manager who summoned the nurse from surgery violated medical protocol. Dean Health spokesman Paul Petus said the incident happened at Dean West's clinic in Madison on Thursday. Peter said there was a period of time in which a nurse wasn't present during the procedure. He said while there were other clinical staff present, the absence of a nurse is a violation of patient care procedures. The Madison-based healthcare provider announced Wednesday that it planned to immediately, and they mean immediately, lay off 90 employees. Peters declined to name the employee involved or what type of surgery the nurse was attending when she was called away. Seriously, that's fucking hardcore. Hey, could you put that down for a second and come in here? You're fired. We need you to get out now. But I'm in the surgery right now. Out.
Yeah, that is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, seriously, that's fucking hardcore.
You know
how
insensitive that
now.
Is too.
Yeah, seriously, we can't afford to pay you for one more second of employment. We need you out now.
Oh my god.
I guess there's really not too much else to say about that, except it's fucked up. Moving along, a Polish politician fumes over gay elephant. Now, before I read the story, can I just say, I've had problems with gay elephants my entire life. The gay elephants, all the deviant leather daddy sea cows, I can't stand those goddamn bisexual giraffes. Ugh.
They give the best head.
Warsaw, a Polish politician has criticized his local zoo for acquiring gay elephant, Nino, who prefers male companions.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is his name?
Nino. Oh, N-I-N-I-O. Nino.
I thought you were saying, like, Nino or something like that. Oh, my God.
We didn't pay 37 million zlotys. Z-L-O-T-Y-S. Zlotys? They're fucking made up fucking Monopoly money. Fucking Poland. For the largest elephant house in Europe to have a gay elephant. Okay, hold on. We didn't pay 37 million zlotys for the largest elephant house in Europe to have gay elephant live there, says Michael Gerzels, a conservative councillor in the city of Poznan in western Poland. We were supposed to have heard, but Nino prefers male friends over females. How will he produce offspring? Said Gerzels, who's from the right-wing opposition Law and Justice Party. Really, you don't say. Head of the Poznan Zoo said 10-year-old Nino may be too young to decide whether he prefers males or females, as elephants only reach sexual maturity at 14. So this all may be for naught. He might not be a gay elephant. He might just be too young to fucking... He may not have gone through puberty yet.
He's just getting a little action on the side. It's okay. He's not mature.
Right, who can blame him for that? They're just playing doctor, you know? It's not gay unless balls are touching.
How can elephants' balls touch?
I can't back that up. I have no proof or
Have you ever seen research. Elephant balls? I'm curious now.
You know, I haven't. Now that I think about that, I haven't.
What the they don't have a big tail. Where the fuck are they hiding them?
Listeners, send us pictures of elephant balls to info@cinemadiabolica.com. And pictures of your balls to dz@cinemadiabolica.com.
Oh,
all right. So moving along to our main content section here for this episode. In a long and storied tradition of stealing content from other websites, we've got the list of the 10 most disastrous Saturday morning cartoon adaptions. Now, I saw a little thing for the... I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. It was a fake Watchmen 80s children's cartoon trailer.
Which was that fucking brilliant.
Which was supposed to look like, you know, there was a Watchmen cartoon or whatever. But that's the thing, is Watchmen is not something that should have been adapted to make a children's cartoon. But see, those of you that are younger won't remember this, but that's kind of the thing. They used to do that all the time. Take completely inappropriate and horrible movies and adapt them into children's cartoons.
Toxic Avenger, anyone?
Oh, Jesus Christ. So let's see. Moving right into the list here. Number 10, Rambo and the Forces of Freedom, based on First Blood, as well as the sequels or whatever. And it sucked because Rambo's an expert at guerrilla warfare. You know, a guy with guns and knives and, you know, killing people with his bare hands, just cold, heartless killing machine.
Turning people into salsa.
Right, exactly. And his job is just to kill. That's it, just to kill. Except in cartoon form, where Rambo was the leader of a multicultural fucking rainbow society G.I. Joe-like squad of do-gooders, each with their own special background and talent. Cartoon Rambo was a... Okay, that's completely different, but accurate. Cartoon Rambo was a well-adjusted man who never talked about his experiences in Vietnam, never had post-traumatic stress. He was nonviolent and overcame his enemies through clever thinking rather than explosive tip arrows. And then it cites the trailer for the new John Rambo movie where he turns people into hamburger meat. Seriously, a Rambo cartoon. Come on, people.
I remember when the show was on and I was like, Are you fucking kidding me? This is lame. G.I. Joe kicks the shit out of Rambo in this version.
Yeah, seriously. Let's see. Number 9, Ghostbusters, but not the regular Ghostbusters. This is Filmation's Ghostbusters. Apparently, and I didn't know this, apparently in 1975 and 1976, there was a television show called Ghostbusters with two guys and their gorilla partner who would, you know, go chase ghosts out of, like, haunting houses, whatever. Then Columbia Pictures licensed the name Ghostbusters to make their movie. The movie came out, and then Filmation saw how big the movie was and made a cartoon of their old TV show, which they still had the rights to use the name for, and called it Ghostbusters. And I remember as a kid, oh, Ghostbusters cartoon, wait, gorilla, what is this? What the fuck? This isn't Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Filmation, I believe, was the same group that originally put out He-Man, so their ability to make good animation was questionable.
Seriously. And you remember the theme song? Let's go, Ghostbusters!
Yeah, let's go. Let's go!
Yeah, seriously, it was fucking awful. That pretty much explains it. Did you ever watch this show?
I saw a couple episodes. I know my friend's younger brother liked it, but I was like, this looks like shit. It's not even, in my opinion, it wasn't the real Ghostbusters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the real Ghostbusters, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the real Ghostbusters because that, well, hold on. That's number 8. And when I saw that, I was like, fuck, I wish there was a cartoon based on the actual fucking Ghostbusters movie, which leads us to number 8 on our list of worst fucking adaptions, The Real Ghostbusters. It was called The Real Ghostbusters because they, they were like wanted to stick a thumb in Filmation's eye. And also, there's some interesting stories behind the scenes over the stars of the movie and their likenesses. The likeness rights, because of issues with that, none of the characters in the cartoon looked like the people from the movie at all.
No.
And fucking Egon ended up being blonde.
Which always astounded me.
Yeah, seriously.
I kind of like this cartoon for the first few seasons, mostly because it talked about Cthulhu every once in a while or something along those lines. But it became the Slimer show before long, and that was kind of lame.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Bill Murray asked, why the hell does my character in this cartoon sound like Garfield? And it was because Lorenzo Music, the voice of Garfield, played him in the cartoon.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
Well, he was like, why the hell do I sound like Garfield? So they fired Lorenzo Music and hired fucking Dave Coulier from Full House.
Well, that's where they went wrong, and that's why the show ended up sucking bigger ass.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? And it's an interesting turn of events. After Lorenzo Music died, the Garfield movie, Garfield was voiced by Bill Murray.
Okay.
So everything comes full circle.
This kind of makes me not like Bill Murray, by the way.
Yeah, seriously. Slimer ended up being like a friend and like a good guy and like a cute little fucking Ewok / Jar Jar Binks / whatever throwaway character. Yeah, seriously awful. Moving along, number 7, Rubik the Amazing Cube. Really? A cartoon based on Rubik's Cube?
Based on an inanimate object?
Yes. It sucked because you really can't make a television show about an inanimate plastic polyhedron. You just can't do it.
That's like, no. Hey, let's make a cartoon based on the Nintendo controller. Not the Nintendo Entertainment System, just the controller.
Right. It says here, okay, so the Rubik was like, it was a Rubik's Cube with two legs and like a head coming out of like, you know, one side of it.
Did you ever actually see this one?
I didn't actually, no.
I did. It was fucking terrible.
Yeah, I can imagine. It says, being essentially a double amputee, Rubik was dependent on the three Hispanic children who discovered him after he fell out of an evil wizard stagecoach.
And it must have taken place in Southern California.
Yeah, seriously. Rubik was surprisingly Hispanic friendly. Oh, God, it's got the theme song. Rubik, he's our friend. And if you see the fucking trailer for that, like, I mean, not the trailer, but the intro, it's basically three dirty little Hispanic children find Rubik as he falls out of like a filthy fucking gypsy's like stagecoach. The guy really looks like a fucking gypsy.
Dora!
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's Dora and any number of other fucking Hispanic cartoon characters. Fucking Rubik.
We need to listen to some Menudo.
Oh yeah, that was Menudo. That was pre Ricky Martin Menudo that did that theme song. Moving along to number six, She-Ra, Princess of Power. We really don't need to talk too much about this because it's fucking She-Ra. It's like they just took the popular He-Man toys and just decided to make a She-Ra, like make it just for girls. It's fucking ridiculous.
Anything they'll do, it's like, hey, it's blonde and, you know, it's got a gay man named Bo.
Yeah, with a big heart on his chest.
I'm the bard, I prance around.
Yeah, moving on to number five. This one's very interesting. Fantastic Four. Now, this sucked because in 1978, a cartoon called The Fantastic Four came on television that did not have the Human Torch. It was called The Fantastic Four, and there were three fucking members of the team. What the fuck?
It had Herbie.
Yeah, it had Herbie, a fucking robot, taking his place.
Well, there was always something about... it's like during this time, they had to have some sort of weird sidekick that was, like, I don't know, super kid-friendly, where it was like a cute robot or a cute animal or something.
Right. Well, there's two stories that as to why Human Torch was not involved in this cartoon. One is that NBC executives were afraid that kids would douse themselves in gasoline and set themselves on fire to be like Human Torch. And two, the character Human Torch may have been optioned to Universal and CBS for a possible development into its own cartoon. So NBC wasn't able to use it. It's interesting. They're like piecemealing out the cartoon characters from a single book.
Well, no, the part about the dousing themselves in gasoline and setting themselves on fire. I remember when I heard that, you know, when I was watching the show when it had been on for years when I was a kid. And I was like, well, that's stupid. They've got Iceman on, Spider-Man and his amazing friends. What do they think? Kids are going to throw themselves in a fucking freezer?
Well, I mean, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. The shit was fucking ridiculous. And the show sucked pretty bad, too. Moving on, number four, Pro Stars. Did you ever see this or even have... I'd never even heard of it before.
I didn't hear about this until you brought this up.
Pro Stars is a show with the three major sports characters or whatever. Look up to stuff, whatever. Michael Jordan, representing basketball, obviously. Bo Jackson, representing football.
And baseball.
And baseball, technically, but he's a football player. He always sucked at baseball. And a guy named Wayne who plays hockey. It's like, what the fuck? Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson, and Wayne Gretzky?
That's a power combo.
Is it just their need to have a white guy on the show that made them put him in there? It's like, well, what white good white athletes do we have? Well, there's Larry Bird, but we've already got Jordan. I guess we'll go with Gretzky.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, and they were like superheroes almost, like fighting crime and just like, oh, god damn it. we may have the intro here. Let's see. Michael's prime is slam time. Pro stars, show stars. Flames hot, slap shot. Bo knows where to go. Wow, that was really as bad as it sounded.
I think you just lobotomized me.
Yeah, I think I lobotomized myself. Moving on, number three, Hammer Man.
I remember this.
And yes, it was a cartoon about MC Hammer.
And his parachute pants of doom.
And his parachute pants of doom. 40-year-old fucking ex-insurance salesman, MC Hammer.
Hammer time.
I guess there's really not too much to say about this one except for playing the intro theme. So here you go.
Hammer Man, Hammer, Hammer Man, Hammer. Whenever there's a crime, some crooks are gonna do time. They all better beware, 'cause the Hammer Man will be there. Here's how it started a long time ago. The legend of the Hammer and how it began to grow. He was given magical shoes from a hip-hop Motown dude. Together they had power. They stood up for what was right. But Gramps was getting old, and he couldn't keep up the fight. Right.
Wow. So basically, the whole thing there is someone that suspiciously looks like James Brown gives someone who suspiciously looks like MC Hammer the magic shoes that talk, of course, and are anthropomorphic, and he becomes a crime fighter.
What is it about clothing that made you magical back in the 80s?
You know, I don't. It all stems from the Wizard of Oz and the magic, the ruby slippers. Still, it's just like, what the fuck?
Good point.
Okay, moving on. Number two, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. Now, this one sucked because obviously it sucked. But by the time the show debuted, Mad Maxine, female wrestler. I'm a little bit of a wrestling enthusiast, so you know I know all this
wrestling.
Stuff. Wrestling. I have a lish. Don't make fun of me. Mad Maxine had to be replaced on the show because she'd quit WWF. Jimmy Snuka had already quit WWF, but he was still on the show. And by 87, when the show ended, Wendy Richter, Captain Lou Albano, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Big John Studd were all also had been fucking gone from WWF for a long time, but they're still on the cartoon. Oh, and Andre the Giant was still in WWF, but by this point, he wasn't Hulk Hogan's sidekick and, you know, lovable fucking mongoloid anymore. He was the top heel in WWF. Number one, the Fonz and the Happy Days Gang cartoon. This shit is so... It's just like Jim Gaffigan says, huh? They wonder why we do drugs. Let's see. Besides
Could you imagine someone claiming that?
Yeah, seriously. Fonz and the Happy Days Gang. Let's see. Okay. Richie Cunningham, Ralph Malph, and the Fonz are lost in time and given a time machine to roam throughout history in hopes of returning to 1957 Milwaukee. Although anyone capable of time traveling would probably find someplace better to be than 1957 Milwaukee. And they're joined by the Fonz talking dog sidekick Mr. Cool. I'm not making that up. Mr. Cool and Cupcake, a 25th century space babe with magical powers.
Why the fuck was her name Cupcake? I remember this show. It was horrible. Yes.
Well, this
it was,
this
I think, a stopgap between actually two superior cartoons. But
yeah, this should be a nice little jettison into memory lane then.
We've got it all together now, gang. The Fonz. His doggy name, Mr. Cool, and the good group. One flaky time machine and a future chick named a Cupcake. Oh, now the gang got zapped into that time machine, and they're like traveling through time. My, my. They do not dig where that machine is going, but they sure hope to get back to 1957 Milwaukee.
Can you dig it?
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think I used to bust out the Legos when this cartoon was on.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would do anything. Anything like rather drugs. Than watch this piece of shit. For some reason, I just noticed this by watching the intro. For some reason, Fonz had the talking dog sidekick before they ended up with the future chicken in space. Where'd the talking dog sidekick come from?
I don't know.
What the fuck is going on here?
He was probably the only worthwhile actor in that cartoon.
Probably. God damn it. I seriously, I'm going to go have a couple beers and go to sleep. that was fucking horrible. Seriously. I'm so glad that kind of shit doesn't happen anymore. Well,
that's not true.
Less. Yeah. Just it not now that it's not horrible adaptions of inappropriate movies and TV series. Now it's just everything fucking is drawn in. Well, I shouldn't say drawn because nothing's drawn anymore, but everything's done in like an anime style, even American cartoons.
Yeah, this is true. The only one, there's a few that throwback, but you know, we were talking about Venture Brothers. Hey.
Yeah, Venture Brothers, people. Season 3, is it out now or is it coming out next weekend?
No, it's out now.
It's out now? People, go pick up your copies of Venture Brothers Season 3 DVD thing. It looks like an Atari game.
It looks fucking awesome. That case is the biggest reason to buy it. I've never really watched the Venture Brothers. I mean, I hear good things.
Yeah. Wait. You've never seen Venture Brothers?
No, never really sat down for an episode. Oh,
my God, it's so good. So go pick that up. And
can I call you a crampon?
You can. Go right ahead right now.
Okay, crampon.
We'll see you next week.
The Diabolical Sound is a product of 13 Scars Industries. Copyright 2009, all rights reserved.
Dean, don't call your brother a crampon.